Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
When we qualified, it was such a surreal experience and moment set in time. Like, we were so excited, screaming on the field, like in India. And then the second we got into the locker room, I know the first thing I did was I called my mom and just immediately started crying. Like, girls were crying the entire night just out of excitement and joy.
And our guest this week is Ashley Sessa. She is an Episcopal Academy product, a Schwanksville native, and a member of the U.S. Olympic field hockey team who is getting ready for the Summer Paris Games. And Ashley, thanks so much for taking the time.
Of course. It's nice to meet you, and thank you for having me.
So we are recording this in late June. I know you are neck deep in training, getting ready for the Paris Games. Kind of give people some insight into what day-to-day life is like right now.
Yeah, so life right now is pretty crazy. Wake up for me is at 5:55 because I like to give myself some time to get ready in the morning. And I head to training around 6:30. I get there at 7, and then I've about an hour to prepare for the day, get ready, do some stretching. And then from, it depends on the day, from 8 to 10:30 or 8 to 11, we have training on field. And that's with speed work, conditioning, stick and ball. And then after that, I'm in lift group 2. So I have about an hour. So I'll get treatment, get in the Normatex. I don't know, go and get some lunch before lift. And lift's about an hour and a half. And then that's just the work part of it. But when we go home, then a lot of us watch film. We do some rehab. We stretch. We roll out. And then just get ready for the next day and do that all over again.
You are a veteran, and it's amazing to call you a veteran. You're 20 years old, but you are a veteran of international play. High level, your first year in college at North Carolina, obviously high school, everything. Where does this level of prep rank in your life? Like, is this the most intense it's ever been, getting ready for the Paris Games?
Yeah, I would say so. Definitely 100%. This, and then also Pan Am Indoor was very tough, but right now, it's very high stress. We're getting ready for the biggest competition of our life. We're going to go there, and it's going to be an insane atmosphere. So we have to balance that atmosphere of being in the Olympic Village, surrounded by all these insane world-class athletes, and then being able to perform under the highest pressure, which none of us have performed in before.
I'm curious, the schedule is out for pool play, obviously, as you go on. How much are you guys worried about opponents at this point? And as we're recording this, you're about a month away from your first game. Is there a lot of this is what Team X is going to do, or is it mostly about you, let's get our house where we want it to be before we start looking ahead?
Yeah, pretty much. So we start with Argentina, and we have a history with Argentina. I've played them probably the most out of every other international team. We know how they play. We have what they might do, what they might not do, but we are starting to open those conversations of, okay, we're playing Spain. How do they play? How are we going to press against them? We're starting to have those and get to know them, but it does help since we played Argentina about like 8 or 9 times out of this entire year. So we already have an understanding of how they're going to play, and it's just whether or not, like, who wants it more in that point in time.
Do you have moments? I mentioned a ton of international experience, but do you ever take a step back and just kind of look around and like, I'm getting ready to go to the Olympics? I would imagine you get so busy into the grind and getting ready, but do you ever have those moments of reflection where you're like, this is incredible?
Yeah, so I definitely do. But when we qualified, that it was such a surreal experience and moment set in time. Like, we were so excited, screaming on the field, like in India. And then the second we got into the locker room, I know the first thing I did was I called my mom and just immediately started crying. Girls were crying the entire night just out of excitement and joy, because it was in the air if we were going to qualify or not. But I think our team knew 100% we were going to. There was no like question about it. Like, we were going to do it then and there. And we did. But then it was just kind of from there. And then there was the stress of selection. And we went on tour again for the FIH Pro League that was held in Belgium and London. So we didn't really have time to like sit back and be like, oh my God, like I'm going to the Olympics, because the team wasn't out yet. But I think when that team came out, it was a sense of a little bit relief. But then you're like, okay, like this is where the work starts now. Like, you did all of that back then to qualify, but this is where it really counts. Like, the qualification doesn't matter if you don't perform in this actual tournament. So I think now it's crazy, because I will see people like do a haul online, like other sports. I know water polo did it, but what they got from their brands and be like, this is what we're getting for Paris 2024. And I think that in that moment, that's where I'm like, oh my God, like I'm gonna be there with them. So I think that is where that moment of we're going to the Olympics comes in that sense.
You've represented the U.S. on multiple international teams. Ever been to Paris before for field hockey?
I have not. I haven't been to Paris or France in general for vacation or hockey.
How much are you looking forward? And I know you're not going to be out taking pictures and, you know, checking things out, but just how excited are you for the experience to go somewhere like you've never been that I'm sure you've probably wanted to go?
Yeah, I am so excited to see something new. And Paris itself is a beautiful place, like the Eiffel Tower, where like the river and just like that atmosphere. I have no idea what it's going to be like in the Olympic Village, but I'm so excited to find out.
So now let's dig into your backstory. I think I read you started playing field hockey when you were 4. Is that true?
Yes.
And what was your introduction to the sport?
Yeah, so my mom played in college. She was their high school captain. But she pursued a career in softball. That was her main sport. So I played softball growing up. But walking through my garage, we have a very competitive family. My brother played every sport under the sun. So did my dad and mom. But we had the old wooden field hockey sticks in our garage hanging up. And they look completely different than they do now. Now they're just so much more advanced and just a totally different brand. But I would always play with them and mess around with them. And my mom was like, oh, like, let's get you like into field hockey. I want you to play the sport that I loved and played too. And my mom is my biggest inspiration to this day. She always will be, like always has. So I wanted to just be like her and play a sport like my brother. But she put me in the Perk Valley Rec League when I was 4 years old. And I don't really have much recollection of it, but that's where it all started. I fell in love there. She was my coach and it just started.
What was it? I mean, obviously the family connection's what driving you at that young age and you want to be like mom and everything. But the sport itself, what was it that you think really connected with you that you kind of got on to take the ride that it's taken you? Like early on, just from the sport itself, what clicked with you?
It was like the freedom of the sport. A lot of people, hockey's very like tactical sport. You can have all the tactics under the sun. But when I play, I don't think about anything. It's pure joy. I have the most fun I've ever had playing, and it's just all love. pretty much. When I go out there, I don't think of anything. If I think of hockey, I'm going to play bad. But if I'm out there having fun and honestly feeling like a little kid again out there, just in my mind, everything just comes to me, like the freedom of it, just how beautiful the sport actually is when you get in the rhythm, whether it's like a give and go, it just flows so nicely together. But it's a different feeling when you're in the game, in the moment, and just having fun at the end of the day. Like, that's what I like to do. I go out there and have fun. It is a job, but I don't think of it as a job.
When did you first realize you were good?
I think it was, I played at a club growing up my entire life, pretty much from 7 to 18, WC Eagles. It's right down the road from my house. But that's where the indoor national team was held at that time. And I tried out for the team when I was 11 years old. And I thank her for this to this day. The head coach, June Kentwell, she turned around. She said, "You can make the team, but you're too young. You're not ready yet." And I was a little heartbroken at that time, but everything happens for a reason. So I came back when I was 12. She said the same exact thing. She said, "You can make this team now. You can hang with the girls, but you're too young. You're not going to make it." And I was like, okay, come back. When I was 13, I made the junior team. So that was under 17s. And I was 13. And then the year after that, when I was 14 years old, she pulled me up to the women's national indoor team. So that's when I was playing with girls that were in college, out of college. Hannah Prince was the captain at the time. I always say that she is my mom on the field there, because she held me to the same standard she held the college girls at. And she really helped me through and gave me all the guidance I needed to succeed in that environment.
What was it like? Because it sounds like, you know, you're punching up age-wise at that age. Mm-hmm. Did you kind of appreciate that, or was it just, this is how it's supposed to work, or I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do? What was there thought that you were outkicking your coverage from an age standpoint, and that you were hanging with girls and being grouped with girls that were a couple years older than you? Because that's really impressive.
But in that time, I love to give all the props to June Kentwell, because as she was the national team indoor head coach, she was also my club head coach from when I was in U10. So when we started in U12, like 10, 11 years old, she always held us to a higher standard than everyone else. And I think that prepared us to be the young ones on the team, to be able to go against older, wiser girls, stronger, faster, and be able to hang with them pretty much. Because when we were in U12, we always played tournaments in U14. We never really played our age group unless it was the indoor national championships. And then when we were in U14, we played up to U16. And for outdoor, we would always scrimmage the older team. So when we were in U16 for outdoor, we would play the U19 girls. And those are the girls that were going to college the next year. They really, like, they were prepared for it, and we were just young. But being in that environment of playing up, I think, really helped me create that mindset of it. Age really does not matter. Like, I don't think age matters at all. How old you are and who you're playing with, it's just a matter of, like, can you hang or, like, can you not?
Why do you think you're good? Like, what is it, if you had to kind of list your skill set on, if you were scouting yourself or putting a game plan together, why is Ashley Sessa where she is now?
I would say where I am now is definitely all of the hard work that I've put in the past. And it started in elementary school. I remember I missed about 6 or 7 Thanksgivings at home to go away and play in tournaments, college showcases. So it's the difference of, are you going to choose this path of, like, it's kind of hard to say, but I chose hockey as my first priority. School was first, but then hockey was second. And I missed a lot of school dances. I couldn't hang out with my friends a bunch, and I missed family events. I missed holidays all growing up and even now. And it's the countless hours of training you put in, like all the work you do by yourself. When I came home from training or before training, I would do 100 stick pulls, or I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't just go to training and that was it. I would do training at home to get better, so then I can implement those skills I learned and put them in practice and just excel them.
From a purely kind of physical standpoint, what are the things that set you apart, you think, that make you an elite field hockey player?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say my height is it. I'm 5'1". I'm definitely one of the smallest out there. But I think it's my speed and vision to be able to see the field, not just the 5 yards around me, and having that hockey IQ in the sense of, if a defender's standing in front of me, what are 3 ways to get out of this? Or my teammate is across from me, where is she going to go next? Or where's the space? So I think definitely my hockey IQ, my vision and speed.
You referenced indoor-outdoor a couple times. For people who aren't familiar, can you kind of give the compare contrast of playing indoor field hockey as opposed to outdoor field hockey, how it differs?
Yeah, so indoor is a lot smaller. It's 5-on-5 or 6-on-6 counting the goalie. And it's on a court-like material, so kind of like a basketball court if you think about it. And I would say it's about 35 yards in length and 30 yards in width, I would say. But it's a faster game. The sticks are thinner. You can't lift the ball. You can't hit it. So it's more technical. You have to use your skill you have on the ground and be quick with it and maneuver your way in such a small area. And it's a quicker game. I think it's quite beautiful. But in outdoor, it's 11 aside. So in that, you have a lot more freedom with, you can lift the ball, you can hit it in the air, you can air dribble it, you can aerial it, which an aerial is where you lift it over a bunch of people's heads. It's a very different game.
And it's outdoor for the Olympics, correct?
Yes, it's outdoor.
We need to take a break on One-on-One. We will have more with Ashley Sessa in just a moment. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda. KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's return to our conversation with Episcopal Academy product and U.S. Olympic field hockey team member Ashley Sessa. So you talked about, you know, trying out for the team at 11 and 12 and 13. When do you feel like you got your head around what you were on the brink of or getting to be a part of? Because I think when you're young, like, you want to make the team that you're trying out for. I mean, you know kind of what it is, but like the magnitude of it might not hit you till you're older and you're like, holy crap. Like, you know, do you have a moment growing up in your teens when you kind of realized what you were in the pipeline of and what the potential of what you could do was?
Yeah, so I grew up, I was lucky enough to meet Katie Bam now, but formerly Katie O'Donnell. She was a USA Hockey legend, and I always looked up to her. She made the national team when she was 16, so in my mind, that's what I wanted to do. And when I made the indoor national team at 14, I go, this is what I want to do. I'm going to make the team at 16. I kind of always knew I was going to make it at 16. It was like not a question in my mind. That is something I wanted to do then and there. And whenever I put something in my mind, nothing's going to stop me to get it. Like, I want to get it.
What was your first international match? Because you have 50 caps. And explain to people what a cap is.
Yeah, so a cap is an international game. And that's where you do the national anthem and it goes towards stats. So a lot of, like, friendlies, you would call, or practice matches, those aren't capped. Those don't go towards stats and records, but a cap does. And a cap is just how many games you've played. So one game is one cap. I got my first cap in 2021 in Chula Vista. So I was home in California, not home, but in America, in California, and we played Canada.
Were you nervous that first time? What was the emotion? You know, what was kind of the combo as you're going in and getting ready to play field hockey at the international level?
Yeah, so it was a nice sensation because we were home and on like a home field kind of, but in the sense of, I originally went out there thinking, oh, this is just a normal hockey game. Like, don't think about it too much. You've played 1,000 of these. So just go out and have fun. But the girls on the national team, our captains, Amanda Gallini now, and like Ashley Hoffman did a really great job of when something special, a special event comes in, they really do their best to recognize it. So they always do a PowerPoint of people's first caps or a 50th or a 100th. And for mine, they pulled up all baby pictures and kind of showed where you started and like where you're going. And I think that's what made it a little more exciting. And I went out there a little nervous, but the second I touched the ball, the nerves went away and I just went out there and had fun.
I'm curious because you played so much international hockey, and do you remember the moment during your career over the last couple of years when you feel like you went from like the new kid to an OG? Like, when did you, was there a moment when you realized, because I know there are some players on the team that have more caps, but you're definitely in the top half from a veteran standpoint. Like, do you remember the moment when you kind of realized that you were saying things to the younger players that it just felt like yesterday people were saying to you?
Honestly, pretty recently, because this year I've been surrounded by such amazing girls, which historically USA field hockey, it's really hard to have a team that's centralized for such a long period because a lot of girls are still in school. And I think now we have 5 girls that took this entire year off on the Olympic waiver to then be centralized and fully get an understanding of just tactics of playing, but also personalities of everyone you're playing with and getting to know them on more personal levels, which is amazing. But I think we still have a lot of girls on the team who aren't centralized and they're still in school and they'll come in and practice with us. And they're asking me questions about the press or what we do in this situation when normally when I would come in, because I would be at school or in high school and not be there to learn all of these things then and there. Now it's kind of like a switch on that standpoint, which is, it's kind of cool.
How do you think your game has changed over your career? You know, going from club, high school, college, international, how do you think your game has evolved over the years?
I think my game has evolved over the years drastically, not skill-wise, but in moments, whether it's in high school, if gameplay and game situation, if there's a minute left and you're up by one, yeah, you might go and try and score another goal. But in international, it's like, okay, if you're up by a goal, how do you delay the game a little bit? Or how do you like learn to keep that possession in those situations? Because it's not, the other team is going for it and they just have to put one in the back of the net. And I think mentally, I definitely have matured a lot and in hockey and also in just everyday life.
Now, you played a year at North Carolina in college and never lost a college game. You guys went undefeated, won the national championship. What was that experience like as a freshman and, you know, to be at that high level, and how much did that help complement where you are now, just having that journey to the top of the mountain?
Yeah, so I think that was definitely a really cool experience, winning a national championship. You're always a national champion after that. But that was definitely a highlight in my career so far. But I also would go back to what skills I've learned when I was playing club hockey and in high school, and just those skills I learned then, I still do now. But it's, how do I get better at them? In what situation do I use those skills? That's what I think the national team has done so well with, because you are playing against the best in the world. They are as good as they get. And you have to learn how each team plays and when do you use those skills that you know you have, but in what situation. So I think, yes, college so far has gotten me that area of you're playing against older girls too, that are at a different level and a different place in life. But international hockey is at such a higher standard and level that I don't think they compare. But I would go back to my club training and say I've used those skills that I've learned then, and it evolved me to be where I am.
I think there are players that are talented and good at what they do from the physical, mental standpoint. And then there are players that, in addition to that, have it deep inside, the desire, not just the desire, because everybody wants to win, but know how to win. how to win the tough battles, how to find a way to grind it out when it's not going your way, stuff like that. And it's pretty obvious you seem to have that because of your level of success everywhere. You know, what is it with, like, why do you think you're a winner? Like, I think it goes beyond fast, do this, understand the game, you know, but down in the guts of it, you know, why do you think you're a winner?
Well, one, I don't like to lose. It's the competitiveness that I grew up in. And again, going back to club, it's not so much like who scores the most goals or all of that. It's your job as a forward, and your job is to put the ball in the back of the net and score. That's how you win. You have to get a score. But the drive I have just with the sport I love, having that, it's such a weird feeling, because when a game is tight, it's not like, oh, we're going to lose this game. It's more so on the lines of, I'm going to win this game, and I don't care how what it takes or how tired I am. That is in the back of my mind. It's working with your teammates to find a solution.
Is your competitiveness across the board, you know, if you're walking through the airport, do you want to beat the person next to you? Like, are you competitive almost across the board in everything you do?
I try not to, but sometimes it does come out where in like a card game or something, sometimes I'll get a little chippy, or like you'll see the competitiveness, but then I'll realize it and I'm like, okay, I'm just here with friends. Like, I just need to calm down a second. But hockey is, it can be your entire identity. So kind of straying away from it with personal life and sport, it's a fine line. But I would say my competitiveness, it does show sometimes, but sometimes I try and calm it down a bit.
Kind of going along with that, because especially right now, it's all consuming. Like, you gave us the rundown of a day, and it's hockey, hockey, hockey. What do you do to try to recharge? Like, even if it's just little things, you've got to have things you kind of go to that are completely separate, that just so you don't get, not overwhelmed, but just not completely drained, because there's so much preparation and so much focus right now.
Yeah, so definitely I'll come back and I'll decompress I'll give myself maybe 1 or 2 hours of just absolutely nothing during the day. And that's, I'm not on my phone. I will probably be taking a nap because I love my naps, or I'm watching TV, hanging out with people. But we have the weekends off sometimes, and that is a great time to go out and meet different people or hang out with friends. I have a couple great friends here, Meredith Shoulder. She's one of my closest friends on the team. And when we're together, we're not talking about hockey. We're talking about life. And we'll hang out all the time, whether it's going to dinner, doing new activities in Charlotte, or hanging by the pool, just being in a different area other than the field to get to know one another. That is like how I decompress and keep hockey separate.
One of the things reading up on you getting ready for this that caught my attention, and we're completely away from field hockey. Did I read correctly that you used to be a baby model when you were a toddler?
That is correct.
Would we be familiar with any of your work?
I'm pretty sure you can still buy, or there's pictures of Halloween costumes in Macy's and Sears. I know one of them, I was a Olympic gold medalist in ice skating, or figure skating, sorry. And then I was a flower and a Rockette.
What are you looking forward the most to these Olympic Games?
The Olympic Village, 100%. Because you see on social media all of these athletes in game sense, like they're going to a game or they're playing, and it's so cool to see them outside of their environment, because at the end of the day, like, they are normal people like the rest of us. But just seeing how like they interact with people and seeing what they do, and like seeing different cultures and what everyone else does, that's my favorite thing about traveling to all these different countries, is the different cultures that people live in and how different or kind of the same it is. And just, I think that's so cool.
Anybody you're specifically hoping you get to meet?
Oh, I would love to meet Katie Ledecky or Simone Biles, or I'm not 100% sure if he's going, but Messi.
And once again, this kind of claps back to the question I asked you, like, you're on the line with these folks. Like, you ran off some legends and you're walking in to the stadium with them. Like, that is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say that's incredible. But I kind of like hold them at a higher thing, because they are gold medalists. Like, Katie Ledecky has so many gold medals, and that is so cool. Like, one day, like, I hope that could be me, and I will always look up to them because they're so much older and they've had all this experience, and just I would hope to follow in their footsteps one day. But it's crazy.
Ashley Sessa, this was great. Thanks so much. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One on One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank Ashley Sessa, member of the U.S. Olympic field hockey team and Episcopal Academy product, for being our guest this week. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor and leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at One on One Pod. You can follow me on X as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.